With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Well, hello, hello, and a rather warm welcome to today's show. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, available online via the UK Health Radio app and also via Alexa. A very warm welcome to Acupuncture Point. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Very, very pleased to be hosting this week's Acupuncture Point for you. Coming up in today's show, well, frankly, you know how joyous I get whenever I read all these wonderful, wonderful articles basically saying what we have known for ages, that acupuncture is really rather fabulous. Well, I'm going to be sharing with you an article that I came across in a recent Time magazine. We're also going to explore a little bit more from my book, Delicious Mauritius, Tastes and Tales from My Mother's Kitchen. I think it's a lovely book, and I wrote it with my mum last year, and it really is a joyous book filled with recipes and love, and I think it's really rather charming, and I hope that you'll agree. We will also be discovering, if you are partial to a glass of wine or two, why red wine might be the best tipple of choice. And we're also going to discover whether or not acupuncture can help with sleeping.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station with over 1.2 million, yes, million listeners every single week. How great is that? All these wonderful people just like you who are listening to positive, upbeat, health-filled and happiness-filled stories and songs. So to each and every one of you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of the UK Health Radio family. Now, I came across this article in Time magazine, no less. Time magazine, no less. And my heart absolutely skipped a beat in a good way because the title of this article was Why Acupuncture is Going Mainstream in Medicine. I know, really, really exciting. Basically, it starts off, I was planning on reading it out word for word, and then I thought, even I might get tired of the sound of my own voice. So basically, I'm just going to skim read this for you. Basically, highlights of this. Basically, it starts off with a story about a doctor who's basically looking for alternative therapies to treat pain. So rather than treating patients with more and more opioid painkillers, which have been linked with addiction, many, many addiction issues, they're looking for this particular doctor was looking for other ways to heal pain, and then began to investigate complementary medical treatments. And this doctor is a pain management specialist at a large-scale hospital, and he didn't anticipate leaving opioids completely, but he wanted to recommend a remedy that was safer than them and still effective. And apparently, that turned out to be acupuncture. In this article, I'm quoting now, like any treatment, acupuncture doesn't work for everyone, but the majority of my patients who have tried it have found relief. When I started looking into studies, I discovered how much evidence there was behind this treatment, and that made me feel comfortable suggesting it as an alternative or a complement to pain medication and other treatments. I know, isn't this great? Isn't this great? So basically it goes on and goes on and goes on and basically talks about a World Health Organization report from 2021 that demonstrates that acupuncture is the most widely used traditional medicine practice used all around the world. And it also talks about how it's growing in popularity and in traction in the US, and Medicare and Medicaid services began covering acupuncture for the first time for chronic back pain, and that took place in 2020. It goes on to say that scientists don't yet understand all of the nuances of how it works. However, research indicates it can have significant effect on certain conditions and that it shows promise for others. This is really, really great stuff. It basically goes on to describe how Chinese medicine theory suggests that there is a flow of energy all around our bodies through channels known as meridians. This is great stuff because many people don't know about this. And it also talks about the acupuncture needles and how they are not the type that we associate with drawing blood, how they're very thin and very flexible, almost like bits of wire. So I'm really, really pleased to see this article. It goes on about the research, and it talks about, it references my best friend, my recent best friend article in the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, which is a huge, huge science journal that was published earlier on this year, where it analysed more than 2,000 scientific reviews of acupuncture therapies and basically demonstrates it's so effective for conditions such as post-stroke treatment, for neck, shoulder and muscle pain, other pain associated with fibromyalgia, lower back pain, and it goes on and it goes on. So it also talks about how acupuncture can help with cancer patients, which is something that I'm so, so keen on more people experiencing. And it talks about how for cancer patients, sessions can focus on reducing nausea, reducing numbness and tingling, brain fog, low appetite, pain, and mood, the mood challenges that come with cancer pain. This is a really, really positive article, and it talks about acupuncture for mental health issues, which again is something that I love to treat when I'm seeing my patients. And yes, basically a really, really positive article in a very well respected magazine. And it ends with a really beautiful, beautiful quote that I'm just going to read out for you now. At the end of the day, doctors want their patients to feel better, and many people are looking for non-pharmaceutical paths for wellness. Depending on the condition, those little needles can make a huge impact. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, and we're available online via the brilliant UK Health Radio app. If you've not got it, please do get it, and also via Alexa. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to Acupuncture Point. So last year, do you remember the lockdown? Yes, it's all a bit of a horrid memory, isn't it, still? I connected with my mum. So she lives in Clapham and I live in Croydon, about a couple of miles away. And because we weren't allowed to see each other in person, we decided that we would write a cookery book together, as you do, using the miracle of Zoom. So every day I would send my poor mum a long list of recipes that I would like her to recite to me, and I would type them up. And at the end of the lockdown, we had quite a few pages. We had over almost 250 pages of wonderful recipes, which I then had to edit down. And I wrote some little short stories to go alongside some of the delicious food recipes. And we had an awful lot of fun doing it. Boy, it was hard work, but it was also really, really good fun. So I just wanted to read to you a little bit from that book. One of the short stories that I wrote, which is called The Big House. Are you sitting comfortably? Well, I will then begin. Should you ever decide to travel to the village of Long Mountain Mauritius, keep going about halfway up the Route Royale and you will come across the Big House. The Big House is a largest property set well back from the road, and it has the curious honour of being the first two-storey residence to have ever been built in Mauritius. For this reason, many older Mauritians know of it, even to this day. The Big House happens to be where my mother grew up, as it was built by her father for his family. Although over time the Big House has become a little crumbled around the edges, it still retains many vestiges of its former glory. Its generous gravel-filled in-and-out drive is today punctuated with the occasional bit of builder's rubble from more recent renovations. The drive wraps around a circular garden that is now neatly planted with row upon row of pineapples, I believe of the Victoria variety. Follow this and you will arrive at a few steps that will lead you up onto an expansive porch that wraps around the whole front of the house. Cool white pillars lead your eye upwards to the bedrooms, which are located upstairs on that famed second story. Go inside and you'll walk over a glinting parquet of waxed ebony wood. The methodical application of the top of a coconut keeps it looking glossy. For those of you that would like to give this a try, you need to push the fibrous part across the floor using your foot and swish it from side to side. It takes quite some practice to do it right. The carpenter that fashioned that floor out of solid chunks of ebony one day carved my mother her very own rolling pin out of that very same wood. A few steps behind the main house, surrounded by trees, there was another, smaller building. I suppose it was the kitchen. The smell of twigs, wood smoke and smouldering. A kettle boiling. An old woman, white hair, white sari. Milky sweet tea. More milk than tea. You know what? Even though I wrote that, I love that. And I love that that time of life in Mauritius is going to be kept alive through those lovely, lovely... Well, I hope they're lovely. You'll have to judge for yourself. But through those words. And if you'd like to find out a little bit more about the book and to see an interview that I did with my mum, it is so, so lovely. Please do look it up. Delicious Mauritius. It's up on Amazon, and you can find some more details about me and the book on the author's page on that site. Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for being part of this week's Acupuncture Point. So if you enjoy the occasional drink, you might be find this article rather fascinating. Apparently, according to research, you know how we love a bit of research, red and white wine drinkers carry less harmful fat around their organs than beer or spirit lovers. Apparently, drinkers of beer and spirits have high levels of harmful fat, which is linked with heart disease. But wine lovers seem to be protected against it, a study suggests. Red wine, was linked to lower levels of visceral fat, which develops around your organs, and it can cause a wide range of health issues. And this is just very interesting, don't you think? Now, whilst there was no protective effect, white wine drinkers also didn't have the same buildup of fat which was seen with drinkers of other types of alcohol, like beer and spirits. White wine, interestingly, was found to increase bone density when it was drunk in moderation, which is, of course, really important to avoid broken bones as we get older. So this was quite a large-scale study, nearly 2,000 people, and it was based here in the UK. And it looked at people who were aged between 40 and 79 years old, and it used tools such as surveys, scans, as well as physical examinations. Now, instead of looking at weight gain, the researchers looked at fat deposits around the internal organs. So they looked at fat deposits around the liver, pancreas, and also the intestines. And each alcohol, did you know this? I didn't know this. Each alcohol has a different nutrient profile. So if you have a strong preference for one type of alcohol, it leads to a different body composition. So, for example, people who drink more beer will have a larger waistline. I suppose that's where the term a beer belly comes from. So the researchers really, really emphasise that if you do choose to drink alcohol, that you should drink in moderation. But it might be a good thing for you to replace beer and spirits with wine, as this will reduce your risk of gaining weight. And for those people who are at risk of developing osteoporosis, they could be advised that if they do drink alcohol, that a higher proportion of their total alcohol intake is white wine. Really, really interesting. And I just think that this is fascinating stuff. So if you do decide that you do want to keep drinking a bit of alcohol from time to time, well, this is what they are suggesting, that you limit it to wine, or you have a more of a preference for wine. The research goes on and on and on, and it also talks and warns against drinking too much. So if you are going to drink something, drink in moderation, but please, you might find it more beneficial for your health to reduce your beer and spirit intake, and to instead focus on red or white wine.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You know something? One of the many, many, many reasons that I love to do this show for you every week is that it really has helped me to branch out of my my musical rut. Were it down to me, and if I didn't have the wonderful game of themes, every single show would probably be a mixture of Michael and Janet Jackson and various and various R&B numbers from the 1990s. So I absolutely love the fact that I need to be creative every week and discover discover songs like that gorgeous, gorgeous song by Willie Nelson just there, Energy Follows Thought. Hello there. You are listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for listening to little old me on my show Acupuncture Point. So I wanted to talk through with you now about insomnia. And also just to talk through some of the research that demonstrate how acupuncture can help to help with this very, very chronic condition. Apparently, insomnia is on the rise all over the world. And in the UK, 29% of adults live with insomnia. That's made up of 24% of men and 34% of women. There are different sorts of insomnia, and this depends on whether insomnia is the initial symptom or primary symptom, or if it develops after another symptom, in which case it is known as secondary insomnia. So secondary insomnia, it's common in patients with cancer, people who've had stroke, and also with people living with anxiety and depression and other mood disorders. And primary insomnia is common in people who are living with chronic stress. I know from a personal perspective, I know that when I have been feeling very, very, very stressed out, when, you know, the number of terrible places that I've worked over the years, I would often take that nervous energy from the day and I wouldn't be able to process it. I wouldn't be able to get to sleep for hours and hours and hours thinking through all of the things that I would do to that horrid person at work, or all the things that were making me angry. So I understand that very, very well. Insomnia often isn't a thing just by itself. Other symptoms can creep up alongside it. Of course, if you've not had a good night's sleep, your body hasn't able to rest and recharge properly. And this can lead to an increase in anxiety and depression. It can lead to you feeling lethargic. Pain often goes hand in hand with insomnia. Also, you can develop headaches and migraines if you've not been able to rest. And in more serious chronic cases, people can develop stroke and heart disease if you're not able to sleep. So let's now look to see how acupuncture can help with helping you to drift off. Acupuncture doesn't have any long-term risks associated with having acupuncture treatments. And in so many studies, so many large-scale studies, it's been demonstrated to be safe. Now, in order to err on the side of caution, I would always, always recommend that you go to see somebody who knows what they're talking about. So not just your mate who's picked up a couple of needles online, not just somebody who's done a sort of 2-hour YouTube tutorial. No, that isn't going to be giving you proper treatment, and it probably isn't the safest thing. So I would always, always, always go with somebody who is a member of a reputable professional association, like the Association of Acupuncture Clinicians, the AAC. Those members know what they're doing, they're fully insured, and they are safe. So moving on, let's have a look to see how acupuncture can help you if sleep is an issue for you. A very large scale study that looked at 46 very large trials, which included a total of over 3,000 patients, 3,800 patients, demonstrated that acupuncture improved sleep quality and was better than medication at increasing the total sleep duration. And these researchers concluded that acupuncture appears to be effective in treating insomnia. And there are many, many, many other studies that demonstrate that acupuncture can help with insomnia as well. There are lots of different theories about how and why acupuncture helps with insomnia. A couple of these include increasing the secretion of melatonin. This is the hormone that regulates our sleep. It improves the blood flow, which relaxes our body and this relaxes our body and helps our mind to switch off, thus improving our sleep quality. And it also reduces our sympathetic nervous system activity, which is our fight or flight response. And by calming the body down, this increases our ability to relax and to gradually drift off. I know that many, many, many patients over the years, particularly after their first ever treatment, they often come feeling a little bit nervous, a little bit sceptical. So if they come to me with a mood disorder, their anxiety might be a little bit higher than before. After popping in the needles, I'll check their pulses, which are located on their wrist, and I'll ask them how they're feeling. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they feel a lot calmer already. And then towards the end of the treatment, quite often people look a little bit drowsy. And, well, it's quite usual for people to report when they return to me the next week or a few days later, depending on when I needed to see them. They'll usually say that they've had a very, very good night's sleep. And I will also notice that as patients begin to feel better and they have more and more acupuncture and their body returns to balance and all of their cycles begin to become a little bit more in sync, I will generally notice that they will report that their sleep begins to improve slowly, 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 but surely it does. Absolutely no idea how that has happened, but it is already home time. And on that bombshell, it is indeed time for me to go. Please, please, please do stay tuned. But from me, Kevin Durgeon, it is time to bid you a fond farewell. Adieu, until next time. Goodbye.